The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's hump day. So why does it feel like frump day? Are you barely making it through the week with no energy to speak of? That's all about to change. Welcome to Transforming Health with Brad King. Get ready to live with the vitality, youthfulness, and abundant energy you've always dreamed of. Now, here's your host, Brad.
Hey everyone, welcome to another incredible show with another incredible guest. And first of all, why are so many people sailing at half mast these days? And worse yet, how many of them have been living this way for so long? Well, they don't remember what optimal health and vitality even feels like anymore. Too many individuals suffer from a condition, and it is a condition of acceptance. They're guilty of accepting their less than healthy status as the way it is. Well, unfortunately, they just don't know any other way to be. Well, not anymore. Welcome to Transforming Health. I'm Brad King, your host, and this is the platform that helps change lives one body and one mind at a time. Insulin has been the treatment of choice for most diabetics since it was first administered to humans in the early 1920s, and most physicians offer diet and exercise programs to their diabetic patients only as an afterthought, and the truth is, too many of them don't have a clue as to how to treat diabetes with proper nutrition because they don't know what proper nutrition is or what it even actually means. On the cellular level, metabolism is all about energy production. And the energy, of course, comes from the food that we eat and the way in which that food is transformed into an energy substance that is universal to the body, which is called ATP. But sometimes there's a breakdown in that metabolic chain of command, and the systems begin to run amok. And a common example of a misaligned metabolism is the blood sugar dysregulation disorder that we refer to as diabetes. The statistics concerning diabetes are hard to believe. In the U.S. alone, nearly 18.2 million people have the disease, and over 5 million of them don't even know it yet. Sadly, well over a million Americans over the age of 20 are diagnosed with diabetes every year. And according to the Canadian Diabetes Association, there will be a 76.5% increase in the number of diabetics by the year 2016. Chances are quite high that you or someone you know is already living with this lifelong metabolic disorder. The question is, is diabetes a reversible disorder? Well, many researchers, including my guest today, says it absolutely is. Today's guest is a conventionally trained medical doctor who just happens to have become one of the most respected voices on complementary and alternative medicine. He is the editor of the widely popular Health and Healing newsletter that provides important health advice for more than 500,000 people nationwide. In 1974, he founded the California Orthomolecular Medical Society along with four other physicians and the Nobel Prize-winning scientist Dr. Linus Pauling. He's the author of several books, including the best-selling Reversing Diabetes. Without further ado, please welcome the director of the Whitaker Wellness Institute. We have the one and only Dr. Julian Whitaker with us today. Dr. Whitaker, how are you feeling?
I am just fine, Brad. I want to thank you for that glorious introduction. My father would have been very proud, and my mother would have believed it.
Well, that's beautiful. And, you know, I've met you in person. We've had dinner together, and you are that person that I just spoke about. So let's get right into this. We've got a lot of information. This is something that you're extremely passionate about. You deal with this in your clinic quite regularly. But, you know, I want to find out from you, what do you think are the main reasons we're experiencing such an epidemic with blood sugar disorders these days? I mean, we can't blame it all on the processed foods, can we?
No, we can't. But first, let me give you my perspective of the diabetic from a doctor's point of view that actually is treating what's going on. Because when you get type 2 diabetes, that is a treatable condition that can be eliminated. But it's not because the conventional physicians are treating it the wrong way. There are three things that I'd like to point out or talk about is the oral pills. You know, the glyburide and the metformin and the Vandia. Then I want to talk about what happens to patients who are heavy and they have diabetes and you give them insulin. And the third thing is, why are vitamins and minerals so important, much more important to diabetic than anyone else?
Okay.
Those are the three.
Okay. Well, before we even go there, let me ask you this then, because I think we need to define what type 2 diabetes is, because there's a lot of misinformation out there. I mean, if you look at what happened from the late 70s to, let's say, the late 90s, the medical establishment basically said that the criteria for diagnosing diabetes was to have a fasting glucose reading of 140 or higher on two separate occasions. But according to newer research, this is obviously way too high a reading because it's supposed to be a lot lower than that, like 110 or maybe even lower. What do you say?
I say diabetes is not a disease, it's a condition. There's a fluctuation of blood sugar levels even in thin people. And when you go up, just because they're going to be tagged, for instance, can you be a little bit pregnant? No, you can't.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. Now, with type 1 diabetes, that is a specific reduction of insulin. The body is not producing insulin. And type 1 diabetics would die of their condition because the blood sugar level would go 600-800, and they would die in ketoacidosis. Insulin was discovered. It was replacing the insulin that they were not making, and that is the cure. That's not the cure, but that is the managing condition, which is type 1. Type 2 is entirely different. Type 2 is the opposite of type 1. In that type 2 produces excessive amounts of insulin. But the insulin doesn't work because the obesity kind of plugs up the cell that would respond to insulin. But when we look at diabetes and we look at type 1 and type 2 through the same looking glass, we're making a huge mistake because type 2 diabetics is brought on by obesity. The obesity makes the insulin insensitive, the blood sugar level goes up, and then you start the litany of mistakes in conventional medicine, and they frequently and most often give these type 2 diabetics insulin, and it puts on 50, 60, 70 more pounds by the treatment.
And okay, then when so basically, you're saying that type 2 diabetes is largely caused because of the bloated fat cells that's making it harder for us to use insulin, and we're treating it by giving more of what's causing the problem in the first place, which is too much insulin.
Well, what's causing the problem in the first place is obesity. And we're treating it with insulin, which causes additional and more obesity. Because insulin is a nutritional storage hormone. When I see type 2 diabetics come into my clinic, I've been doing this for 30 years, I stop insulin instantly. You know, I had a patient who was put on insulin, and he increased his dose 10 units a year for 10 years, and he gained 10 or 12 pounds per year, and therefore he comes to see me. He's 100 pounds overweight, and he's taking 100 units of insulin.
Wow.
So I take his insulin and his syringes, and I drop them in the can, trash can, and I purposely make a noise to make a statement. And it obviously freaks him because he's been doing this for 10 years. Then when I explain to him that the process of using insulin to bring down the blood sugar level is similar to trying to get someone to wear pants that are 32-inch and he's got a 46-inch waist, you just can't do it. So He eventually, over 7 years, got rid of all that weight, and he never went on any diabetic medicine again, and he's now living and healthy.
Wow.
So, but you see, this is not rocket science. You know, this is simple. It's just that we are simply doing the wrong thing in our treatment modalities from the conventional point of view.
Right, and when we talk about the medications that are being prescribed for people with diabetes, I mean, these have obviously life-altering side effects to them that are causing even more problems than the actual disorder is.
Glyburide carries a warning to patients in part of the patient information. On that warning, it's a black box warning, it says this medication, this oral diabetic pill, has been shown to increase the risk of heart attack, non-fatal and fatal. So now they're using a therapy that increases the worst side effect of the disease. And they're using it liberally. So there was a study back in the 60s that was published in 1972 that when they compared the oral drugs, which was a metformin-like drug and a glyburide-like drug, that was DBI and Oronase, to a placebo, the drug takers had 300% higher death rates in a 5-year period, and they had to stop the study 3 years early because the drug folks were having so much complications from the drug.
That sounds like the HRT study.
Yeah. Now, John Davison, who was my mentor at Emory University, and he had run a very large diabetic treatment center at Emory. He had 18,000 patients under roof, and he stopped all drugs, and he stopped all insulin in individuals who were overweight. So when you stop the drugs, that's one thing, but you got to get the weight off.
Right.
Now, so what he would do with his patients, and he's the only conventional doctor that I think done this. I've done it, but he's the only conventional doctor that does it. He put patients that were actually going down the tubes. You know, they had ulcers in their legs. They were on medical disability. They were 75 pounds overweight. They were short of breath. They were edematous. You know, their blood sugar levels were averaging like 190 to 230. And they were just close to death. He put them in the hospital, and he put them on a 7-day water fast. They were in the hospital, so they're under control, and he put them on a 7-day water fast. They would lose about 12 pounds in the 7 days, and then he put them on a lower-calorie diet, and he reset the computer. And by resetting the computer, they were able to respond, and then they would lose the 70 pounds. You
right.
Look at the graph of weight loss in them. In his textbook, you know, a problem-oriented approach to diabetes, you look at the graph, and it comes down almost in the same pattern. You don't see the rapid weight loss of the first week because it is so smoothly heading down. Now, what we do is that we put them on a mini fast. We just say, don't eat breakfast. Now, I know breakfast is the most important meal of the day, don't you think, Brad?
I mean, I do.
Most people think of it. And I do, too. But if you're 60 pounds overweight, I simply say, eat breakfast at noon, and at 8 o'clock or 8:30, get some exercise.
So leave a little more for the fasting period. We're going to go to our first break right now, Dr. Whitaker. When we come back, we've got so much more to talk about. We're going to come back with Dr. Whitaker explaining a little more about how dangerous these drugs really are that are used to treat diabetes. Don't worry about this. You're going to want to get a pad of paper and a pen out because Dr. Whitaker is going to be giving you some of his tips on the right supplementation that can really help to heal against these types of disorders. We're going to get into diet. We're going to get into the right type of exercise. All of that when we get back on more of Transforming Health with Brad King and today's guest, Dr. Julian Whitaker, with his best-selling book, Reversing Diabetes. Don't go anywhere.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Did you know that the environment may play an ever-increasing role in a sluggish metabolism, which can lead to reduced energy and weight gain? The good news is that the Ultimate Her Energy and Ultimate Male Energy can help combat these negative effects.
please visit www.awakenyourbody.com to find out how you can once again look, feel, and perform in a youthful manner.
Take us on the go. It's even easier now. The Voice America Talk Radio Network has launched our mobile app for iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry. Visit the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market to download the app powered by Aircast. It's free and no registration is necessary. In minutes, you could be enjoying your favorite Voice America Talk Radio host, no matter where you are. In the car, out and about, while traveling, or anytime you can't be close to your computer. Catch up on the archives you've missed or discover new shows on the spot. Search Voice America at your favorite app store.
Mark your calendar and set an alarm so you do not miss the highly acclaimed talk show, Holistic Living with Tina Marie Jones. Tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central, and 10 a.m. Pacific for inspirational, oftentimes edgy discussions on all that life brings our way with celebrity guests, world-famous authors, and everyday people dedicated to sharing positive, uplifting messages. Tina Marie Jones brings you the very best in talk radio discussions, guaranteed to make you smile.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Everyone, welcome back to Transforming Health with Brad King. We've got an unbelievable show for you today. We're talking about the condition of diabetes. And unlike type 1 diabetes, symptoms of insulin-resistant diabetes develop gradually and might be due, at least in part, to the biological aging of the pancreatic cells that are responsible for producing insulin in the first place. And this is also why the condition has historically appeared after the age of 40. With our understanding of metabolism, I mean, that explanation makes sense, because when cells are not adequately nourished, well, obviously they become less efficient. And this would also explain why type 2 diabetes is striking at ever younger ages, with the high percentage of nutrient-deficient food choices that are consumed by children and teenagers. Our cells are not being fed to thrive, and they're aging a lot quicker than they really should be. If you are responsible, by the way, for the care and the feeding of a young person, and you want to ensure that they do not experience the condition of type 2 diabetes, you're going to have to be sure to nourish their cells for optimal metabolic power. And this is really what the message of today's show is all about. Please welcome back the author of several books, including the best-selling Reversing Diabetes, which we're talking about today, the director of the Whitaker Wellness Institute, Dr. Julian Whitaker. Dr. Whitaker, we were talking about some of the drugs that are used to treat diabetes and some of the side effects. And I want to get into Avandia, because obviously there's a lot of problems with Avandia, and then we'll move in just quickly to metformin. But tell us about Avandia.
Avandia is just a drug that is now carries warnings on it. There are law groups advertising and looking for patients who've been damaged by it. I don't really know that much about Avandia, because it would never come as a possibility that I would ever even use it. I've never used it.
Right.
I haven't written a prescription for a oral diabetic drug in 25 years, and I don't plan to start now, so I don't keep up with Avandia except by monitoring its obvious side effects.
So let me ask you this then. I mean, you're a conventionally trained doctor. There are millions of MDs out there. What do you know that none of these other doctors seem to know?
Well, I think one of the reasons that I am different is because I'm not in the conventional milieu. I have my own practice. I don't go to hospitals. I don't go to diabetic meetings that the conventional guys go to. I research the natural ways of handling diabetes, and with type 2 diabetes, the thing you got to do is to lose weight, period. If you lose weight, if you're 70 pounds overweight, you're going to have diabetes.
Right.
The fat is causing the insulin to be insensitive. It doesn't It doesn't work well. You've got to lose the weight. And so physicians do exactly the opposite for their patients. They say, well, we got to push down that blood sugar level. It's going to make you terribly sick. So they give you insulin. And then you show up for your next visit 2 months later, 15 pounds heavier. And then the doctor gets mad at you.
Right.
You see, how can you do this? And you feel terrible because you think the doctor is telling you it's your fault. And so then he increases your insulin another 15 units.
Right, and then puts you in touch with a dietitian who puts you on a diet that's loaded with the wrong types of carbohydrates, and it makes your condition even worse. So what about metformin? I mean, you're also a diplomat of anti-aging medicine, and as you know, metformin or glucophage is actually one recommended by some anti-aging physicians when you're over a certain age, let's say over 50 or 60, that it's not that bad to take because it actually makes you a little more sensitive to insulin. What's your take?
Well, we, for 25 years, the rule here at Whitaker Wellness was there'd be no oral drugs and there'd be no insulin in people who were not optimal weight, and that included metformin. But then the docs and I kept looking at the conditions of metformin and what metformin actually did, and found that there was less reason to blackball metformin along with Avandia and Glyburide and the others because they didn't do anything positive. So we opened the door, and with selected cases, we would continue metformin. If they were on metformin, they would continue taking the metformin. We now have banned metformin because we have a herb, benfamine. I can't pronounce the name, but we have an herb that acts exactly like metformin, but does not have the side effects.
Okay.
Let me get the pronunciation. I'll be back in 1 second.
That's never happened before. We'll put the show on hold while the host goes and get some information on one of the nutrients. What's interesting about that, and I wonder if it's chlorogenic acid that Dr. Julian Whitaker is talking about, but we'll find out, or Gymnema sylvester, one of those two, I wonder.
The magic herb is berberine. Have you heard of berberine?
No, you know, I have not heard of that before.
Yeah, it's amazing. It has the same kind of function in the body, same kind of metabolic changes as does metformin. But it has none of the dangerous characteristics of metformin, and it's superior. So
I thought you were going to talk about chlorogenic acid or Gymnema sylvester.
No, well, we use Gymnema sylvester, and it's okay, but it's not anywhere near the power of berberine.
Okay, and what about chlorogenic acid from coffee?
The other nutrients that we have, so we have a product called Glucose Essentials, and we give it to our diabetics, and it contains... Three capsules contain about 100 milligrams of vanadyl sulfate. That's very good at lowering the blood sugar level. That's very good at increasing the insulin sensitivity. It has chromium picolinate in it and chromium niacinate. It has a pattern of therapeutic agents specific for diabetes. But we're using berberine as our major goal, as our major treatment in the type 2 diabetic. And we certainly take them off insulin and we take them off the Glyburide and all the others and Avandia. I haven't even seen a bottle of Avandia.
Okay, well, no, these are good. So let me ask you this, and I think I know the answer, but what would be the very first step? Somebody walks into your office, they have diabetes, whether they're on medication or not. We already know you throw their medication away, but what's the first step? What do you do with that diabetic?
Don't say I just throw the medication away. That sounds too cavalier.
Okay.
Okay, but if they're heavy and they're taking insulin, that's the time to stop it. And so I do stop the insulin. If they're heavy and they're taking these oral diabetic drugs, I stop those. Now, that is not so unconventional. That's exactly what John Davison did at Emory University Medical Center.
Right.
You know, he had 18,000 people under. So he did that for 20 years. And he retired in 1992, and some jackass comes in, takes his place, and all of a sudden, all the drugs come back. And all of the insulin comes back. So he's fattening up the diabetic population and creating problems and wreaking havoc. But John Davison did not do that for 20-plus years. And I went to medical school at Emory. I remember consulting and being in groups with John Davison in the late 1960s. This was before the study came out. And then when the study came out, he stopped all drugs and all insulin in type 2. Now, we're talking about the type 2. We're talking about the obesity-related diabetes. We're not talking about type 1. So, and then he put him on a fasting program and a diet program and an exercise program. But I don't think he used vitamins and minerals. And I think that there's a special case, and you need to, and people need to understand why the vitamins and minerals are so essential to the diabetic condition.
Right, and we're going to get into that on the second half. We don't have enough time on this portion, but why, you know, here's the thing. What you're saying and what so many other researchers are saying and what I've dealt with as well with a lot of clients is you're right. This is number one of the most preventable disorders ever, and it is completely treatable the majority of the time. So why are these drugs still being prescribed out there? I mean, do you really think the industry as a whole wants a cure for this or any other disease for that matter?
No, they don't. They absolutely don't. If and I know from that just research what they're doing in cancer, okay, but also what they're doing here in diabetes, if they can't see that it was demonstrated back in the 1960s that in type 2 diabetics, insulin had no value and it only increased weight gain. And that was published almost 40 years ago. If they can't see that and understand that, I don't know what to say.
Right.
You know, it's just, it's kind of a problem for me to look at what they're doing knowing, not thinking, but knowing that they're wrong.
But isn't that kind of the same as saying there's research out there that shows for the majority of cancers, chemotherapy is only going to cause a lot of problems. It's not going to cure anything. It's if anything, it's going to ruin your liver and your kidneys and your heart and your bones. And yet they're still prescribing chemotherapy for the majority of cancers.
Yeah, and they're blocking therapies for cancer that are not toxic and are far superior to the chemo. That's where you really see their motivation. You know,
right. So it's business as usual with Big Pharma. We know that.
It's business as usual in diabetes. It's business as usual in heart disease. You know, the bypass surgery doesn't make any sense. It's irrational.
One of the top complications of people who suffer with type 2 diabetes. Okay, we have got so much to cover. I mean, you know, first of all, the number of problems that are associated with diabetes, we're talking about things like retinal damage to the eyes, arterial blockage, oxidative stress, increased inflammation, things like endothelial dysfunction, reduced coronary blood flow, increased cancer risk. The list goes on and on. We're going to be talking about ways in which to naturally treat these types of disorders with vitamins and minerals and other, you know, incredible synergistic combinations when we come back with more of Transforming Health with Brad King and my guest today, Dr. Julian Whitaker, best-selling author of Reversing Diabetes. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you in pain? Do you want more energy? A stronger immune system? Rarely does nature reveal a therapeutic agent so incredible that medical researchers and the people who try it are astounded by its health-enhancing benefits. Introducing Leaf Source, a mineral product that is derived from a 100% natural, organic, prehistoric seabed deposit. To find out how Leaf Source can help you, visit www.leafsource.com.
Ask Theo Live is talk radio like you've never heard before. Following her near-death experience, world-renowned author and spiritual medium Sheila Gillette became the direct voice channel for Theo, a consortium of 12 archangels. Through this unique channel, Sheila and her co-host Marcus Gillette present you with an opportunity to speak directly with Theo live on air on any topic you wish to discuss, including receiving authentic messages from deceased loved ones and angelic guides. Get the answer you need by tuning in to Ask Theo Live Talk Radio, Tuesday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Seventh Wave Network.
Are you living your vital life? One that is showcasing you at your full potential? There are many issues that stand in the way of most people achieving their full potential. We will discuss these issues and how to overcome them each week on The Vital Life, Awakening Your Full Potential, with host Dr. Carolyn Coker Ross. Living the vital life often requires that we trust our own intuitive voice and that we view illness or life challenges as calls to action to reconnect with the deeper urges of our spirit or soul. Tune in Fridays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Transforming Health with Brad King. We're on the second half of a very, very interesting and I'm sure somewhat controversial show today. We're talking about the condition of type 2 diabetes. We're going to be talking about nutrients, what diet, what type of exercise can help to alleviate and really correct these metabolic conditions. You're going to want to get a pad of paper out and a pen. By the way, if you haven't done so already, please join me on Facebook, Transforming Health with Brad King. We've got over 30,000 people that have joined us on that page, and it would be nice to have even more. We share a lot of this information, and then we rebroadcast the shows that we've done. Blood sugar disorders like type 2 diabetes are reaching epidemic proportions in much of the westernized world, and one of the main problems is due to the fact that physicians are actually accepting higher levels of blood sugar as normal, and therefore they're not doing anything about them. High blood sugar may be normal in our society because the majority of people experience the condition, but that doesn't mean it isn't deadly. Doctors fail to recognize that even slight elevations in blood sugar create very lethal metabolic pathologies that are underlying factors behind multiple age-related diseases, only one of which is diabetes. And therefore, people today are suffering and dying from diabetic-like complications without knowing their blood sugar levels are too high. So due to the newer research on the myriad disorders that are associated with high blood sugar levels, it really is very clear that we need to start taking aggressive action to ensure our blood sugar levels are kept in what we call healthy ranges, especially after eating. And of course, it's vitally important to reduce your intake of sugary snacks and white foods, all the white sugar, the white pasta, the white flour, the white rice, the breads, and lower our excess carbohydrate consumption. But there are these supplements that we're going to be talking about that are also highly successful in helping to treat blood sugar problems like diabetes. Once again, today's guest is a conventionally trained medical doctor. He happens to have become one of the most respected voices on complementary and alternative medicine. He is the editor of the widely popular Health and Healing newsletter. It goes out to over 500,000 people. Once again, please welcome the author of several best-selling books, I believe over 12 now, one of them, Reversing Diabetes, the director of the Whitaker Wellness Institute, Dr. Julian Whitaker is with us. So, Dr. Whitaker, let's talk about diet for a second. We spoke about drugs. We spoke about some of the problems that are associated with diabetes. You mentioned that, and I think a lot of people realize this, the majority of people who suffer from this condition are over fat. We're not overweight, but we put on a lot of extra fat. So what, in your opinion, what have you seen that's worked the best with these diabetics in helping to get rid of the fat so they get their condition back in check?
Well, if you look at all weight loss programs, whether it's Atkins or Pritikin or the low glycemic or the seven meal a day diet, all of them, the central mechanism for success is caloric restriction. Caloric restriction causes weight loss. Now, the weight loss is required for type 2 diabetes because it is the weight that is causing the type 2 diabetes. And when you have an increase in weight, those fatty cells block up the cells stimulation or reaction to insulin, and therefore the blood sugar level goes high. Now, since the type 2 diabetic can make insulin, there's nothing wrong with the pancreatic islet cells that make insulin, as they are in type 1. Since they can make insulin, they respond to the elevating blood sugar level by making more insulin. But again, the insulin doesn't work, and so you have a vicious cycle of increasing weight and increasing insulin production until finally you have this full-blown effect of 75 pounds overweight and high blood sugar levels, and then you get to the litany of inappropriate and adverse reactions of conventional therapy. But let's talk about the vitamins and minerals for diabetics. Is that what you want to talk about?
No, I want to talk about diet for a second, because
it's
one thing to say lower your calories. A lot of people go, okay, well, I've been on a million fad diets. They're all caloric restrictive diets. None of them seem to work for very long.
Weight loss, I mean, in spite of all the testimonials, and I've got testimonials in my weight loss book, and I know weight loss is a very difficult thing to do and maintain. It's just difficult. Now, a lot of it has to do with habit, a lot of it has to do with culture, a lot of it has to do with discipline or whatever. But it's just difficult to lose weight. Our feeling is one of the easiest ways to do it is to drop a meal. Just drop one meal. And I choose the breakfast meal because during your nighttime, so you have gone from nighttime, you have gone about 12 hours of fasting. You know, you've gone 12 hours of fasting. You know, if you eat something at 8 and then you get up at 8 o'clock in the morning and then you have breakfast, you haven't eaten for 12 hours. The body doesn't store carbohydrate very well. It stores fat exceptionally well. And fat can be used and often is used by the body for energy when carbohydrates become low in the body. So what you do is you don't put yourself out of ketosis with eating granola first thing in the morning. Because then what that does, I mean, this is only if you're fat. What that does is it shuts down the burning of fat and you begin shifting back to the burning of carbohydrate and it takes you out of ketosis. And the reality is, regardless of what kind of program you're on, the only way you can lose fat weight is to burn it. You can't lose fat weight, if you don't burn it.
But in order to burn it, you've got to really control the hormone that's responsible for storing it in the first place, and that's insulin.
Well, the best way to do that is simply not take it. Okay? And then the way you control the insulin in the type 2 diabetes is to burn the fat so that the fat weight comes down, and as the fat weight comes down, the insulin comes down. See, it really is harder to control your endogenous production of insulin because you don't have any control over that. It's not hard if you're heavy to control the insulin that you give by injection because all you have to do is stop.
Right, but what if you're watching, obviously, the kinds of carbohydrates? Like in your books, you talk about the glycemic load, not the glycemic index, because, you know, we've learned that it doesn't really matter what the glycemic number is on a specific food. It's what that meal contains and how that meal behaves once it's in the body. So we can obviously help control insulin somewhat by watching the glycemic load.
Absolutely.
Of the meals we're having. Can we
Absolutely.
Not?
Absolutely. I think that is the way you eat the rest of your life, by reducing the glycemic load, you know, paying attention to the index. If you pay attention to the glycemic index, you're going to pay attention to the glycemic load. So that is an excellent way to eat. That's what we have all of our patients on, is a lower glycemic meals.
Right.
Okay. So yes, but if you have a patient who's 75 pounds overweight, they got to burn it off. you know, and so we enhance the burning of fat in two ways. First, we don't allow carbohydrate. We can do a protein drink. You see, we can have some you know, vitamins. You can a vitamin and protein drink. But we just don't load up on the carbohydrates in the morning, and we suggest that they go out walking. You know, another interesting thing, Brad, is, and this is a little off topic, but I think it's fascinating. The overwhelming majority, if not all, of the type 2 diabetics test their blood sugar levels by finger sticks.
Right.
You're right? Their doctor doesn't tell them what to do if it's high. It's interesting. Every time I interview, we'll have 25, 30 people coming to the clinic, and I'm doing an orientation. I ask the people who have type 2 diabetes, and I'll see maybe 15 raise their hand, and I say, how many of you test your finger sticks? And another maybe 15 raise a hand. And so then I ask each one, what do you do if your blood sugar level by your finger stick is high? High for you. I'm not asking what it is. I'm just saying, this is high for you. What do you do? And some of them say, I kvetch. Some of them say, I take a pill. Someone say, I do nothing. And then I say, well, what does your doctor tell you to do? And nobody says a word. Because the doctor doesn't tell him anything to do.
So what?
Because
do they
the doctor
do?
Is looking at the hemoglobin A1C, which is the average blood sugar, and just allows the wasteful use of all these finger sticks to just persist as a tradition, I guess.
Okay, so Dr. Whitaker, what do you tell them to do when their blood sugar comes back as high?
Oh, man, I'm so glad you asked that question. Well, what I tell them to do is to put on their walking shoes and walk. Go out for a 30-minute, it doesn't have to be brisk, but it's better if it's brisk.
Right.
Because here's the reason. The large muscles, the thighs and the gluteus and, and muscles in general, when they are at rest, they need insulin to bring the nutrients in, the sugar and the proteins and things like that. They need insulin. But when the muscles are working, the door is open. They can suck in glucose and amino acids without insulin.
Sure.
So this is this wonderful way you have not only of improving your health, but of substantially lowering your blood sugar level.
Right. I think the research shows the body, an average exercising muscle can take in up to 30 times the amount of sugar independent of insulin.
Absolutely. So, and then doctors never tell their patients to do that. Ever.
Wow. Okay, so walking is a good form of exercise. So would you say for the majority of diabetics, the most important time is to walk is right after the last meal of the day?
No.
Okay.
I'd say the most important time to walk, there's a reason to walk after the last meal.
Right.
But I think the most important time to walk is when they want to bring their blood sugar level down. The second reason I have a most important time to walk is in the early morning before breakfast. And the reason I want them to walk before breakfast is not that their blood sugar level is high. It's probably low, you know. But the reason I want them to walk before breakfast is because the calories that they will burn prior to their breakfast are going to be mostly fat calories.
Right, so it's like exercising on an empty stomach.
Exactly.
Right.
So you exercise on an empty stomach, and therefore you're burning fat, and that's a positive thing.
See, the reason I was mentioning after dinner is because normally the blood sugar levels spike the highest after dinner, because that's usually the largest meal of the day.
Right, and let me tell you why I think, and I think you probably know this too, why I think walking after a meal is important. The meal is being absorbed. The meal and all the glucose and the proteins and the fats and all the stuff, you like Thanksgiving. Everybody just kind of wallows after Thanksgiving because they just can't move, okay? So the meal is being absorbed. If you get out and you take a 25 to 30-minute walk, it doesn't have to be brisk, after the meal, what happens is that the body, the heart and the muscles, shut the blood back to the muscle. And away from the gastrointestinal tract where it is absorbing nutrient.
Right.
So the absorption of nutrient is on hold while the muscles are not only taking the blood supply, but are getting the, are depositing the nutrients that have been absorbed.
Yeah, and what, I mean, what Dr. Whitaker is talking about is what's called postprandial blood sugar levels, which are really dangerous if they rise too high, above 40 milligrams per deciliter. And most people, they just have blood sugar that's just through the roof, and that's what creates the majority of the problems in the arteries and everything else going on in the body. We're going to go out for our last break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about the supplements that I've promised you we're going to talk about, and I know that Dr. Julian Whitaker cannot wait to discuss with you, and how effective these supplements are at helping to reduce the blood sugar and help to control diseases like diabetes. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Did you know that the environment may play an ever-increasing role in a sluggish metabolism, which can lead to reduced energy and weight gain? The good news is that the Ultimate Her Energy and Ultimate Male Energy can help combat these negative effects. Please visit www.awakenyourbody.com to find out how you can once again look, feel, and perform in a youthful manner.
Are you in pain? Do you want more energy? A stronger immune system? Rarely does nature reveal a therapeutic agent so incredible that medical researchers and the people who try it are astounded by its health-enhancing benefits. Introducing Leaf Source, a mineral product that is derived from a 100% natural, organic, prehistoric seabed deposit. To find out how Leaf Source can help you, visit www.leafsource.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the last segment today of Transforming Health. What an incredible guest, an incredible show, and it always goes by so fast when you have someone with the knowledge base that today's guest has. And if we were talking about this just briefly in the last segment, if you want to reverse diabetes, you really have no choice but to get off the couch. There was a study from India a few years back that showed that obesity, hypertension, and insulin resistance increases significantly with a lack of physical activity. And
absolutely,
as we were mentioning, studies also show that exercise promotes much better blood sugar metabolism because exercising muscles can often take up to 30 times the amount of sugar than non-exercising ones. And this means that people at risk for diabetes and those who have been diagnosed with the disease should absolutely incorporate exercise into their daily lives and do what Dr. Julian Whitaker mentioned. Go for a walk first thing in the morning, go to the gym first thing in the morning, or go for a walk after the last meal of the day, or do it twice. It certainly won't hurt you. Please welcome back the author of several books, including the best-selling Reversing Diabetes, the director of the Whitaker Wellness Institute, Dr. Julian Whitaker. Dr. Whitaker, we've been promising these people we were going to talk about the real supplements that can really make a difference in their lives, so let's just get into that right away. Let's talk about some of your top choices.
Okay. Well, first, let's talk about why supplements are important for diabetics.
Let's do that.
Diabetic, the word diabetes comes from the Greek word meaning passing through. Diabetes means excessive urination. There's no mention of sugar at all in the word diabetes. There's diabetes insipidus, which is caused by a lack of hormone in the pituitary gland. And these are the people that can't concentrate the urine, and they're constantly drinking water, and they're on a one-hour flight, and they go to the John 3 to 4 times. So that's diabetes insipidus. Now, diabetes mellitus, that is a diabetes, that's a sugar diabetes, diabetes mellitus. Now, the question is, if the pituitary gland causes the diabetes insipidus, what is causing the diabetes in the diabetes mellitus? And the answer to that is the elevated blood sugar. You see, an elevated blood sugar creates an osmotic power in the blood that draws out water from the cells and rushes it to the kidney, and it's downloaded. People actually don't have a problem with osmotic power until I explain to them, if you take a goldfish and you drop that goldfish into the Great Salt Lake, everybody knows what's going to happen to the goldfish. It's going to die, because the high osmotic power of all the salt in the Great Salt Lake sucks the water out. Now, in diabetes, when the blood sugar level gets to 250, 300, it causes an osmotic power just like the salt in the Great Salt Lake. So this draws the water out of the fluids, and it causes a tsunami going right to the kidney. And you find sugar in the urine because the kidney can't absorb the amount of sugar and let go of the amount of water that is being exposed
right
to. So it's not only sugar. It's every single water-soluble vitamin is being spilled out of the system every time a diabetic takes a pee. So,
okay.
And doctors pay no attention to that. There was a study back in the 70s, a single study on a single nutrient, magnesium. They looked at a group of diabetics and a group of non-diabetics, and they measured their magnesium level, and it was high, high normal, low normal, a low normal, low. And they found that magnesium was an independent risk factor for diabetic retinopathy and blindness, meaning that the lower the magnesium level, regardless of the control, they're going to have an increased risk of going blind. Now, the clarion call for all physicians treating diabetes is that here's clear evidence that low magnesium levels can lead to blindness. So the clarion call is, for gosh sakes, give your patient magnesium supplements.
Right.
But it's not just magnesium. It's B6, it's thiamine, it's vitamin C, it's folic acid. Magnesium, the diabetic is just a screaming a package of malnourished cells, because the high blood sugar levels are causing a diuresis that is depleting them of all the micronutrients.
Okay,
the ones
that makes sense. Obviously, you would recommend a very high quality multivitamin with all the B's and the A and the D and the C and the E and everything, because of that nutrient depletion, primarily those water soluble vitamins. But what do we take? I know you talk a lot in your books about blood supportive supplements, like the sugar supportive supplements, like cinnamon, for instance. Let's talk about some of those to help get the disorder a little quicker in.
Yeah, we have a program, multiple, we call Glucose Essentials. And it has a chromium picolinate in it. It has Jimena sylvestre. It has purslane. It has vanadyl sulfate and banaba extract. Now, the vanadyl sulfate is a very interesting mineral. It is not vanadium. It is vanadyl. So, therefore, it doesn't have the complications or the toxicity of vanadium. Vanadyl sulfate substantially increases insulin sensitivity. You know, studies out of Canada showed amazing results in animals that were created diabetic, type 1 diabetic, just by giving vanadyl sulfate. Now, there also was a study on type 2 diabetics that vanadyl sulfate reduced the sugar load, it reduced the cholesterol level, it improved the metabolism, because it acts like to increase the insulin sensitivity. Not many people use vanadyl sulfate. I don't know anybody who does, tell you the truth.
Right.
I've been
right.
using
and
it.
And a lot
I've
of people don't for, really use
I've
chromium either, even
years.
Though chromium is well recognized.
Yes. Yeah, chromium is recognized, and they use chromium, but they don't use vanadyl sulfate. And if they do, they don't use enough of it.
So how much vanadyl sulfate are you recommending?
About 100 milligrams a day.
Okay.
We do Glucose Essentials with 3 capsules a day. And that's, with the amount that's in there, that's 33, that's 99 milligrams of vanadyl sulfate. Okay? And it has some side effects. You know, sometimes the stool will change color, but it's minimal. We haven't had any serious side effects from the use of the vanadyl sulfate, and there are none really reported, to tell you the
truth. Now what about cinnamon? We're hearing a lot of research about cinnamon helping to control excess blood sugar.
It helps, no question.
So are you saying to sprinkle it on a food, or are you saying to actually take a supplement of cinnamon extract?
Yeah, we had it in our supplement, but we stopped it because we wanted to give it in larger amounts and adding it to a multiple. So now we have all of our diabetics taking cinnamon by capsule. And I say, look, use regular cooking cinnamon. There's no difference.
Sure.
You know, we like to medicalize things.
You know? What about fish oils, the importance of the real activated omega-3 fatty acids for diabetics?
Very important. I'm not sure specifically that the fish oil has very specific benefits that it doesn't have in others. But what it does in others, it thins the blood. It, you know, it helps to lower the triglyceride level, and it helps to prevent heart attacks and things like that. And it does the same thing with diabetics.
Yeah, and I think part of the reasoning for that is because diabetics have a higher inflammatory environment within their bodies, and
right.
Fish oils is helping to control
absolutely.
That somewhat.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about starch neutralizers and fibers for diabetics?
Fibers are very important. Fibers are very important. We use ground up flaxseed. We use glucomannan. We use anytime we can add fiber, because see, fiber not only gives softer and larger stools, it slows down absorption.
Right.
Which is very important for diabetics.
Okay. Dr. Whitaker, we're almost out of time here, and I want people definitely to have the information of how to find out more about you and also about the various things that you offer. So why don't you give some of that that information to the listeners now?
Well, you can come to our website called WhitakerWellness.com. You can give us a call. I don't even know my own 800 number.
Yeah, don't worry about that. It's on the website, but
yeah, it's
WhitakerWellness.com.
Right.
The book we've been talking about today is Reversing Diabetes. Dr. Whitaker has written, what have you written now, 12 or 13 books?
I think it's 14 with this most recent one with Rodell coming out.
See, that's when you know you've written too many books, Dr. Whitaker, is when
you
can't even remember how many you have.
Listen,
I want to thank you so much for doing the incredible job that you do on a continual basis, inspiring so many people. It's my true wish that other practitioners of your sort would actually learn from someone like you. And I know that you do take a lot of, young MDs into your clinic and, so that they can learn a lot from what you do and your various protocols. So we've been talking to Dr. Julian Whitaker today. Whitaker Wellness Institute, who he's the director of. This is Brad King, Transforming Health. I want to thank all of you for listening to the show today. I hope you got the information that you needed to either change your life or change someone that you obviously care about. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. Another incredible show, another incredible guest. Go out, have yourself an unbelievable week, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for tuning in to Transforming Health with Brad King. Be sure to join us again next Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Looking forward to next week. Now, with your newfound energy, go out and make it work for you.